while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
This is still the New Year season. And obviously it's the second Sunday of the year, and right here at Pollardshill Baptist Church, it's our Vision Sunday. Second Sunday of the year, we look at and we look at the motto verse and go through the verse that God has given us for the year. A lot of churches take a theme, you know, our year of breakthrough, our year of ascension, our year of promotion, our year of celebration. Here at PHBC, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Here at PHBC, we do it slightly differently. What we do is we pray over scripture and we find one as a leadership team. This is the one that we sense God is calling us to do. And every year that he has led us to a motto verse, we've seen him fulfill the promise of that verse, haven't we? Yeah. You know, he's showed up. I mean, and this is the thing about, this is the year, this is the season for promises. This is the season for resolutions. People are saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I won't do this, I won't. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Okay, I saw five hands go up. A few people are like, nah, I don't make New Year resolutions. I'm just going to live my best life, you know. My question is, by the time we get to the end of this month, those of you who have made resolutions, end of this month, I said, how many of you will still be keeping those resolutions? Do you know statistically, and I think I shared this last year, that most people quit on their resolutions by the third week of the year? It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Well, thank God he is not like us. He keeps his promises. His promises are yea and amen. If he said it is so, it is so, absolutely. So, as I said, God has showed up through every motto verse. Some of you will remember our motto verse for 2020 was from 2 Corinthians 4:18, telling us not to look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are unseen, because the things that are seen are temporary. That was the year that the world went into COVID lockdown. We had the various lockdowns, and indeed, there were all sorts of things we could see in the natural that caused many to go into a place of fear. In 2021, the motto verse we confessed was Hebrews 10:23, encouraging us to hold on to the hope that we profess, the hope that we confess, because the one that promised us is faithful. And this is what we held on to as we came out of COVID, came out of lockdown, and realized that many had suffered loss of loved ones, loss of identity, loss of business, loss of livelihoods, loss of confidence amongst many losses we suffered. Yet, in his mercy, God knew. God, when God gave us that verse at the end of 2021, he knew this is what we needed. And last year, 2022, who can forget? We were told to be strong and courageous, not to be fearful, because wherever we go, our good, great, glorious God will be with us. Wow. Didn't we just need that reminder? How many people really felt that this motto verse, it made a difference in your life? You know, I see lots of hands. And certainly for me it was. What a year it was. A wonderful reminder. And so our motto verse for this year has been read for us already. It's been talked about. It's right there at the front of the church. If you're in the building, there's a little leaflet where you can get a copy. If you're here, you know, there's a little, I think we had a few of them printed. Take a couple home, give it to somebody. I will apologize. I wanted to have them printed on card, and it was my mistake, I think. And they ended up being printed on paper. But it's good enough, right? That will stick on your fridge, won't it? You know, you can, so we can have it there, have it before us. And remember, so this year's motto verse is taken from Psalm 16, verse 8, which says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Whew. So it's that time of the year. It's the time of the year where for resolutions, for decisions. It's the time of the year for promises. The time when we see that things are new. You know, it's a new year, new week, new month. And as we crossed into the new year, we heard those of you who were here, those of you who were at the Watch Night service, the crossover service, 31st of December, as we crossed into the new year, we heard God declaring to us that text from Revelation 21, saying that he, behold, I make all things new. He is making all things new. And last week, we put our minds to recognizing his amazing grace. So this time of the year is a time for people, but this time of the year, is a time for promises, but it's also a time for reviewing. A lot of people use this time of the year to look back, to review. And this is a time where we take stock of our lives. We look back to where we're coming from, and we figure out that we need help. We figure out we need assistance to make a change, to be or to become. And so many people at this time of the year are calling, they're reaching out for therapists, they're reaching out for counselors, they're reaching out for consultants, for advisors. They're seeking assistance to move from where they are, perhaps, to where they should be. Yeah, they're seeking assistance, you know, to move from where they are, from where they are to where they should be, to where they could be. People are trying to break old habits. At this time of the year, people are making a decision to form new habits. This time of the year, some people want to start a business. Some people want to lose weight, join a gym, get fitter. Some of us want to know God more. Some of us want to seek God more. And God bless you for making that decision. Some of us are saying, you know what, let me press into God. Some of us want to love God more. So what needs reviewing in your life? Yeah. And are you asking God for help? So this season is not just a time for reviewing, it's also a time for renewing. It's the time when we confidently express who we are. You know who we are, we know what needs to change, we know who we're supposed to be, we know what we're supposed to do about it, so we jump on the band, we get on the journey. Immediately, we want to get ahead, press ahead, get it done, get things moving. This is a time where people actually start the business, they start the course, they move house. I know somebody who's just got a job, who's been in post now, I think it's her third week in her job. I know somebody else who's just moved house. I know, you know, and this is the season for that. You know, some people will start going to the gym. They'll actually not just be paying that direct debit every month. They'll actually go to the, I can hear some chuckles. Have you ever, come on, don't even pretend like you're not one of those people. Oh yeah, it's a good deal on this gym, you know. Yeah, the first 3 months, half price after that, £200. Yeah, it's okay, I'll do it, yeah, I'll pay. The gym's got a swimming pool, a sauna, a steam room, a weights room, a yoga room, a this room and the other room. And listen, the only thing you do is stand in front of the mirror doing this for your 40 quid or whatever it is every month. And then halfway through the year, you go, oh my goodness, why am I paying for this gym? And then January, you restart the sun. Come on, we've been there, haven't we? But some people actually do it. Some people start attending cell groups on a Tuesday at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. Some people will say, yeah, he went there. Some people will start attending prayer meeting on a Wednesday at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church. Yeah, I said it. I said it because I can. Some people are not just there waiting to be a victim of their own situation and circumstances. Some people this time of the year, this season of renewing, are pressing out there, stepping out there. They're not waiting for something to happen. They're making something happen. You know, and you've heard me say this, I've said this in this church, I've said it from this pulpit. You know the old saying, they say opportunity knocks? It's a lie, saints. Opportunity doesn't... When did opportunity come and look for you? Hey, how you doing? Do you want to get rich? Hey, how you doing? Do you want to be... Opportunity doesn't knock. Opportunity passes by your door. You need to be awake and alert and attentive and open that door and run out there and grab it by its throat and bring it in. Opportunity doesn't come and knock for you. Who told you opportunity knocks for you? It ain't knocking nothing. Like, well, maybe it's been knocking for you. Come and tell me. I need some of what you have. Because in my life, opportunity has tried to pass me by. Remember Bartimaeus, the blind man? Jesus was walking. He screamed out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Opportunity was about to pass him by, and he did something about it. You know, so this is a season of renewing where some people have gone out there, and they're grabbing that opportunity, and they're making the most of what they have with confidence. Thirdly, this is also the season for many people of rejoicing. Rejoicing for what the Lord has done. Again, looking back. People have looked and people have made a decision. You know, what was that? Jesus, I'll never forget. What is it? What you've done for me. Jesus, am I the only one that knows this song? Oh my goodness. Hey, how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget. I don't know the words of this part. Jesus, never forget. No, no, never. I think I've just remixed the song, but hey, it's okay. But these are people who are saying, you know what, they're looking back and they're just saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, I give God thanks. These are the folks that do not forget what God has done. These are the folks who, when they speak, it's much more about gratitude than about grumbling. You know, sometimes people say, oh, don't grumble. Even the person telling you don't grumble grumbles. I'm going to tell you don't grumble. You think I don't grumble. Well, I don't think I grumble, but ask my wife. You know, she has a different opinion. I can't mark my own paper. She's better at marking it than me because she'll be, you know. But there are some people who, in the words of the other song, say, count your blessings, name them one by one. You know that one? Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So there we have it. It's a season for reviewing. It's a season for renewing. It's also a season for rejoicing. Interestingly, I said these three because the Psalm 16 that is our core text for today has a similar structure. The first four verses of Psalm 16, if you read that Psalm 16 again, verses 1 to 4 are about reviewing, are about looking back, the realization that help is needed. And the call, the cry for help that comes after that recognition. Verses 5 to 8 are about the renewing, about the pressing forward, about the expressing confidence in God, expressing confidence in God's presence. And then verses 9 to 11, 9, 10, and 11 are about rejoicing for what God has done. You know, I love that structure. You look back, you know you have help. The next section, you say, you know what, I can do this, God is with me. And then the third section, you say, hallelujah. Verses 9, 10, and 11, that's what they are. Giving praise with confidence to the giver of every good and pleasant thing. Amen. You know, those of you who were here, as I said, during Watch Night service, and those of you who joined us for service online, you know, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter online, or if you're on the church radio station, you know, 31st of December. Remember that verse that we focused on that God gave to us said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You know, and a few minutes ago, I pointed out the basic structure of reviewing, renewing, and rejoicing. And our key text, our motto verse for today actually comes from that middle section of the renewing. Yeah, this is the section that is lending and tending towards something positive, something new, that newness in our lives. Once again, verse 8 of Psalm 16 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with him at my right hand I will not be shaken. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us as individuals? And what should that mean for us as individuals? What should it mean for us as a church? Still on the basis of what God has done in previous years, only he knows what this year is going to look like as we continue to confess these words throughout the months of 2023. Every year he's given us a motto verse, and by the time we've gone, you know, a quarter of the way, halfway through, we start to see, we're like, yeah, actually, we needed to be confessing this. So who knows when we say, you know, I will not be shaken. Saints, is a shaking coming? I'm asking. Is a shaking coming? I'm asking. I don't know. I don't know. He who knows the future, we lean to. Fundamentally, when you look at this verse, you'll see that the verse is about keeping our eyes on the Lord. It is about our focus, what we're looking at. And you know, the truth of it is this. The more you focus on something, the bigger that thing seems to get. Isn't that right? You agree with me? Yeah, a few people are nodding. The others aren't quite sure. If you nodded, just nudge them gently. Give them a sanctified nudge. Yeah, holy elbow, and tell them, wake up. So, you know, and it's a principle that applies. The more you focus on something, the bigger that thing seems to get. The more you concentrate, you start to see more detail. It's like you're zoomed in to that thing or that person, whether that be a good or a bad one. A good or bad person, the more you focus on them, the bigger they seem to get. A good or a bad situation, the more you focus on it, the bigger, the closer, the larger, the more important they seem to get. Likewise, if what you're doing is moaning and groaning and complaining about a situation, you know, you're going and you're telling all your friends, oh, woe is me, look at this. The more they see the situation, the larger the situation becomes, the more important the situation comes for them. And what have they got for you at this point? Just pity. That's all they can do is like, oh, you poor thing. I know, right? Oh, you know, and sometimes, as you know, come on, don't even pretend that you haven't been there. Someone's come to you moaning and groaning and complaining, and all you've got is, yeah, I know, right? And in your heart, you're like, you know what? I need some positivity in my life. I need some good news. We've all been that person. And the truth of it is, we've all been the other person, needing someone to just listen for what it is that we're going through. But at the same time, the more pity they give you, the bigger the problem gets. The bigger the problem gets, the more you doubt God. And the more you doubt God, the smaller God gets. And the more the devil gets the glory. So the real word for 2023, the real issue here is focus. Is focus. And the Bible is full of many examples of many people who lost focus. But it's also full of examples of many people who kept focus. And I want to give you an example of someone who kept focus. In fact, before I do that, I want to show you something I saw as I read this psalm. I read it in the NIV, of course. We've got that on screen here. I see how it speaks to us as individuals, and I'm also persuaded it speaks to us as a church. But at the same time, I also read it in the Message. And those of you who use the Message, you know that sometimes in the Message, verses are grouped together. They're not split off individually. And so I looked at Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8, as it's grouped in the Message. And this is how it's laid out in the Message, and the NIV and the Message. The NIV, verses 7 and 8 say, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Then 8 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. This is how the Message puts it. The Message says, the wise counsel God gives me when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart. Then, day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going. I'm not letting go. If you just focus on verse 7 alone, verse 7, let me paraphrase what verse 7 alone is saying. We see it on screen in the NIV and in the Message. This verse is simply saying what God promised you in your night, in your daytime, don't forget it in your nighttime. What God promised you in your daytime, don't forget it in your nighttime. That's what this verse is fundamentally saying. So now let me remind you of something that happened. Somebody who kept faith is what happened in Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. It tells the story of this young man. Well, he wasn't so young by this time. Daniel. And, you know, he was thrown into a den of lions. You know, he'd been told to do some stuff. And it was against what God would have wanted. And he refused. He decided to stand up and stand out for God. And the king was like, you know what? You know, you're going to jail. You know, okay, not quite that accent. But, you know, and they threw, I don't know why that happens. And they threw him in this den of lions. Right? Has anybody here ever seen a lion as in like up close? Oh, Felix, put your hand down. Well, I don't think anybody has seen in a zoo. Okay, fair enough. I don't think anybody has seen a lion up close as in up close. Because otherwise, you know, the lion's belly would be full and you wouldn't be here to talk about it. Well, here's a short clip of some lions that I filmed. So you're thinking, yeah, yes, I filmed a clip of some lions. And those of you who are listening, joining us on radio, I'm really sorry you can't see this, but it'll be available on YouTube later. You can watch it. And if you look at this clip, you know, myself and the family about 18 months ago, we went to Bedfordshire. There's a safari park in Bedfordshire. In fact, you see things and they're like wallpaper. You know, I'd always known it was there, but never actually actively thought about it. And it's an actual safari. I mean, they had rhinos, they had tigers, they had all sorts of weird and wonderful animals. And this is the lion's enclosure. And when you're in the lion's enclosure, you have to drive, and there's a route, there's a queue of cars. You're driving really slow. You'll drive 10 meters, 10 yards and stop, and you'll drive again and stop. We were in the car, and they say your windows have to be open. And there was a particular point, somebody wound their window down to do something. And the rangers, you know, the windows have to be closed. Did I say open? Yeah. Ooh la la. The windows have to be open. You know, it's lunchtime for these lions. So somebody opened their windows, and the Rangers, they were there with their speakers. Wind your window up, and all this stuff. And you can see how close they are to the car. You know, there were many more lions, as you can see. And the interesting thing is, they just had lunch. There was some large, God knows what it was, animal, you know, carcass of something hanging from trees, and they were there, and they'd been eating, and you could see bones. And so they're just having a little bit of a nap after lunch, you know. And it's very, you can see we're kind of close-ish, sort of close. But I could tell you we are 100% in the car. I don't care that they are lions or not. The doors were locked and the windows were up. I don't care whether they can open that car. They could. My family, we're going back to London after this, you know. You're looking at them, you're thinking, oh, they're so cute. Oh my gosh, they look cuddly. They might be cute and cuddly, but they will have you for lunch. Trust me on that. They are very dangerous. So how many of you remember what happened in Daniel chapter 6? In Daniel 6, as I said, you know, this guy's faith was tested. He was living, things were bad. You know, people were obeying this king, obeying these laws that the king had set up that were dodgy, that were contrary to what God had said, you know. And Daniel didn't do that. He stood up, he stood out, he made a difference. And they chucked him into this den of lions to spend the night. So here he was spending, think about it for a moment. How could he have spent the night in a den of lions? He spent the night with lions. I want to show you something. Look at this painting on screen. This is an artist's depiction of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to ask you, what do you see in this painting? What can you see in this image? Shout it out. Let me hear some.
Hunger.
Hunger. Yes. Okay. Hunger. What did you say? Oh, bones. Yes, there's some bones. Yeah, that's true. There's some bones there. Goodness knows whose bones those were. What else can we see in there? We see the lions. We see some space.
Daniel,
of course. Okay. Did you say peace? Somebody said peace. Somebody said he's ignoring them. Somebody said he's got his back to them. Absolutely. Those beasts were thinking, is this breakfast? Is this lunch? Is this dinner? Is this dessert? You know, what is this? A special treat? Tea time break? And look, I love the way the artist depicts Daniel. He is lifting his eyes. He is lifting his eyes. Ooh, Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Ooh, some King James people here. From whence cometh my help? You're showing your age. And for you young folk, where does my help come from? The NIV says. And yet Daniel spent the night with these things, with these creatures, with these guys. If that was you, how would you sleep? Sleep? What kind of sleep would you sleep? You'd have been cowering and crying in a corner, concocting all sorts of things all sorts of scenarios in your mind, thinking which one's going to get me first, that one, or this one. And every time the thing looked at you, you'd be like, no eye contact. I mean, sleep? He spent the night there. Why? And he slept. He was cool. Because he was focused on the right thing. He was focused on the presence of God with him, on the presence of Emmanuel, God with him. But there was somebody who didn't sleep that night. Do you know who didn't sleep? Let me show you. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 18 says, the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. The person who sent him into the den of lions was the one that was disturbed. In fairness, the king actually liked Daniel. However, all the king could focus on was doom and gloom and death. Oh, this guy's going to die. Oh, this guy's going to die. Oh, this. Daniel's there living his best life. Man's living la vida loca with the lions. The king in the palace couldn't sleep. You see the irony? The guy in a cave covered with a stone with lions was at peace. And the guy with, who knows, Egyptian cotton sheets, you know, temper mattress, memory foam, whatever he had, he couldn't sleep. Why? Focus. How many times have we ourselves been there? How many times have we done that? We're so focused on the wrong thing, we have no peace. We can't eat, we can't think, we can't sleep. Daniel here is not focused on the lions. He's not focused on the situation. He's focused on seeking a solution. And God is a God of principles. Remember this. You know this about God. He's not bothered by how you feel. He's not bothered by what's going on. Your heart is going biddy boom, biddy boom, biddy boom. Please. He's a God of principles. For example, simple principle of reaping and sowing. You always reap what you sow. You always reap after you sow. You always reap more than you sow. Simple principle. It will not change. It cannot change. God won't change it. It's a principle. Another principle is that if we obey God and we obey God, we must leave the consequences to Him. That's a principle. Don't worry about the consequences. You just do what God says. Just obey. It's what happens after that is up to Him. Another principle, God acts on behalf of those who wait on Him. So all we need is to follow God's principles, and if we follow His principles, we should never, and I mean never, have any major issues, any real issues. Why? He, God, handles the consequences. Now, let me ask you something. Is there any consequence in your life? Has there been a situation where you obeyed God and there was a consequence and you regretted obeying God? Who here has ever regretted obeying God? It doesn't exist. It's not possible. You can't do what God says and it doesn't work out for you. It's not possible. Of course not. So if we obey Him, if I obey Him, I can live in joy, in peace, in contentment, with confidence, with assurance, with the ability, knowing that I can get through any valley, even I can get through the valley of the shadow of death, because He is with me. And sometimes He allows us to go through the valley of the shadow of death, like it says in Psalm 23. Sometimes. I don't know why. I actually don't know why. Sometimes we go through difficult situations. I mean, God clearly thinks we're up to the task. He thinks we can handle these challenges. I don't know why He thinks we can handle it. I want to illustrate something. I want to show you something about focus, etc. Sumi, let's go. Monique, please stand up. So here's, stay where you are. The instruction was stand up. So what I need you to do is to make your way up here. There's a 20-pound note in my hand. Those who, don't share screen, full screen. There's a 20-pound note in my hand. All you need to do is go around and come up here. Yeah? So, Sumi, please do that. But here is the thing. You're going to have, you think 20 pounds is easy? Please. So, this is the prize. You know what to do. So she knows she's not allowed to just come there and straight to the front or come there and straight to the rest. She has to go first round to the back and then come through the middle. She knows that, yes? Okay, and you're going to be timed, and your time starts now. Knows how long she's got. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, you nearly made it. Don't take the blindfold off. Don't take the blindfold off. So we're going to do this again. In fact, just go back to the same. Yeah, lead her back, please. We're going to do this again. But this time, are you ready? This time, she's going to have help. Are you ready? She's not ready. You can even hold her hand if you want, but make sure she's hearing your instructions. Is the mic on? Is it green?
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready? So, but you have to give her instructions so she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Are you ready? And your time starts now.
Straight back. Come on, come on, let's go. Straight back. Come on, let's go. Run, run.
And you did that the second time with 7 seconds to spare. You see the difference in that illustration. Do you see the speed with which she completed it the second time? It took her 30 seconds just to get to the back of the rows the first time. The next time she did the whole thing in 23 seconds. The very first time, she was fumbling. She was careful. She was cautious, almost fearful even, in the way that she was walking. She didn't know whether she was touching a chair or Andy's head. I'm not saying your head feels like a chair, by the way, before you interpret something and start sending me text messages. You know, at that point, she couldn't see where she was going. But she had no way of assessing the danger. She had no way of assessing her journey. She knew where she had to go because I'd given her the instructions before the service started. I said, there's going to be a £20 note waiting for you at the front. So she knew what the prize was. She knew. But how could she have done it alone? Because her vision was impaired. Her vision was impaired. What are the obstacles on your journey? What are the things that are impairing, that are hindering you from getting where you need to be? Paul said, I press toward the prize of the high calling. What are the things that are stopping you? Dodgy friends, maybe. Bad advice. Oh, don't even pretend like you don't know people who give you bad advice. People who are saying, why are you doing that? Why are you going to church? Stay home, you'll be fine. What's all this Jesus thing? I don't believe in it anyway. Dodgy advice. Maybe it's bad habits. Bad habits. You know, the worst lie, you've heard me say this, the worst lie a person can believe is the lie they tell themselves. Where they say, oh, I'll be okay. No, you won't. Who told you that? Get help. Or is it fear? Is it laziness that's stopping you? Because you know, you don't have the courage to break out of those habits. You don't have the courage to step into what you know God is saying. Because in your mind, you're thinking, if I do this, what are those people going to say? What are they going to think of me? Sorry, excuse my language, but who cares what they think of you? It's what God thinks of you that matters. What are they going to think of me? Or maybe it's sin that's hindering you. You know, the distractions of life, guilt, sin in our lives, these are surefire ways to circumvent God's promises, God's power in our lives as Christians. And we know that God cannot dwell where there is sin. Look what happened when she was guided. I love that. Sumi said, hold my hand. Walk, walk, carefully, straight to the back. At a particular point, what did she say? Run! Guess what? She couldn't see. She couldn't assess the danger. But the interesting thing, on her right side was somebody who could see, who could assess the danger, who could guide her, who could tell her how to get to that prize. You know, the right side is the place of honor. When soldiers are standing together, the senior official always stands to the right. God placed Jesus, invited him to sit at his right to showcase Jesus' honor, the place of honor. Even in a banquet, you invite the honored guest to sit to your right. The right side is the place of honor, is the preferred place. And the Lord is calling us to keep our focus on him, to keep him at our right hand. And I can assure you there will be times of battle and times of banquet where you need to be sure that God is on your right and keep your focus on him. So where is your focus? Who is at your right hand? Who is at your right hand? Doubt? Who's at your right hand? Your problems, your situation, your circumstance? Who is at your right hand? Fear, insecurity? Or maybe it's your own ideas, your own sense, your own intelligence, your own experience, your sense of self. Me, myself, and I. I'm sorry, excuse my language again, but who are you? Really? Who is at your right hand? I want to leave you. I want to close with this principle. Simple principle in life. A compass. Where does the needle of a compass point? Only one person answers. Where does the needle of a compass point? North. It doesn't point up. It always points north, wherever north may be. You can take that compass and you can shake it. You can twist it. You can turn it. And indeed, the needle of a compass, it can be shaken off. It can spin off. If you move the compass, it'll move too. But in a few moments, what happens? It recenters itself. To where? North. And as we focus our minds today on this verse, as we keep our eyes always on the Lord, with Him at our right hand, I want to tell you this, as you do this, no matter how you are being shaken off, no matter when you may spin off, no matter where you are being tossed and turned to, no matter what it is you may go through in 2023, you make sure that you are recentered back to God, recentered back to His presence, recentered to keeping your eyes on Him, and recentered to having Him at your right hand. Make sure you go back to where you should be in God and with Him. If you trip up, pick up. If you mess up, clean up. Let your testimony and as an individual and our testimony as a church this year be that indeed we keep our eyes always on the Lord. With Him at our right hand, we will not be shaken.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.